Cellist Oliver Coates is performing two sets at this year's Big Ears Festival. One concert will present some of his favorite classical compositions, while on the other, he will perform two of his own albums, including his newest record, Upstepping, which sort of fuses together elements of techno and classical. An incredibly talented and versatile musician, Coates performs solo classical repertoire. Most recently, he conducted the UK premiere of John Luther Adams' Canticles of the Sky for large cello ensemble. He also is a member of the London Contemporary Orchestra, who have recorded motion picture soundtracks, performed classical concerts, and this past year, collaborated with the band Radiohead on their newest release, A Moon-Shaped Pool. As Big Ears attendees will hear, Oliver is also a very talented composer and arranger, even though he modestly says that he doesn't think of himself as one. Oliver Coates, it's great to talk to you today. Thanks for taking time to chat.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
You are presenting two sets at this year's Big Ears Festival. Tell us what you'll be performing.
Yeah, on Saturday night, I'm playing music which is a bit more electronic and a bit more dreamy. I think it's a club environment with a standing audience, and I've got a projected video art behind me. It's like a collage of pieces that I've made using the cello and various types of electronic kind of sampled sounds over the years. Some couple of records that I put out in 2016, Upstepping and also Remain Calm. And then the other show is a sit-down show, so more like a cello concert. So I'm playing kind of pieces of music which I think mean a lot to me now and showcase the cello really well.
So are those classical compositions?
Yeah, in the sense that they're all notated, they're all written by someone and not me.
Let's talk about your new album, Upstepping, a little bit. The entire album was created with your cello and, I believe, with vocals and with help of some technology.
I wouldn't say that all of it was made with the cello. A lot of the sounds were made with the cello, and that just means kind of everything that was melodic, I played in with the cello and processed quite a lot. But then also some of the percussive sounds, because it's ostensibly like a dance record, mm-hmm. like a house and sort of techno record, and I wanted to limit the palette, if you see what I mean. So if you have access to every sound in the world, your imagination sort of runs dry. So I tried to use the wood of the cello, but also make it really crunchy so that you sort of really disguise things instead of certain traditional kind of dance music elements like a kick and a hi-hat and a snare. But I often layered them as well with those traditional elements, so it's not entirely cello. It was kind of nano sounds, like lots of micro little gestures on the cello. And then I spent a long time on the computer picking it up sound by sound.
Yeah, when I listen to it, it definitely sounds like there's a drummer playing with you. And I was trying to figure out, is that a cello? Like, how did he do that? So was the drum kit sound, did you create that with your cello?
Partly, like just in the computer, yeah. So each sound is a composite. So a lot of the hi-hats are the bow hair mm-hmm. on the steel. A lot of the snappy kind of drum sounds are half kind of either, actually sometimes I'm just dropping things in my kitchen, you know, like a bag of salt on the floor for like a clap sound, stuff like that. So it's more to do with recording and sort of molding and sculpting each sound yourself rather than just receiving a set of sound as kind of as preset or kind of as sort of industry standard. I guess I just was trying to make my own vocabulary.
So you recorded different sounds and then sort of manipulated the waves with a program?
Yeah. So everything sounds incredible when you change the pitch of it. Mm-hmm. If you play a harmonic on the cello, sort of the purest sound you can make, and then you transpose it down a long way, mm-hmm. it has this effect of dragging all the harmonics with it. So all the things you wouldn't normally hear in the overtones of a sound, they sort of come down into the middle register. Mm-hmm. So suddenly things get really vibrant and colourful in a new way. So I try and take very pure sounds on the cello, like harmonics, and then move them around. And if they become bass tones, then suddenly it's a really rich sort of human kind of sound.
Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating. How will you recreate this record in a live performance?
not really very successfully. I don't know. I don't try to, actually. I have all the records separated out into different elements, and I have a lot of new material that I play over the top. I go between playing melodies on the cello and sort of having fun. I like the idea of hyper cello, like extending the sound right up to the very top. Yeah.
So it'll be a reinterpretation of your album.
That's right.
What was your inspiration behind upstepping? Because you play so many different styles of music. Why did you decide to fuse these elements of techno and, I don't know, classical a little bit?
Well, the first inspiration was I went on a tour and I was encouraged by the fellow musicians to stand while I played. And I found that it made my decision-making quite different, the kinds of things I would do when standing. Mm-hmm. And more recently, every time I can, if the technique of the music that I'm playing, if it will allow me, then I try and stand. So I played in front of 5,000 people last week, standing. And it was sort of a 5-minute cello piece in the big rock and roll venue. And it felt wonderful to make the whole building shake with the cello. So my feelings are, I was trying to find a way that the vibrations of the cello could fulfill the function of people having a good time and not really sitting down and being cerebral, which I also love as the other side of music listening, where you sit and you are stimulated by sounds and by performance. And then the other side is more primal. So I guess I was trying to make something a bit more wild to just have a break, really. The record I'd done before that I'd made was quite calm, really, and fragile. So this was about busting out something else.
What drew you to the cello in the first place? Why did you start playing the cello?
It's funny, you know how you feel like you may be different people all the way through your life. So when I was 7, I'm not sure who I was or what I was thinking, but I started young and I wasn't sort of pushed or anything. I just saw one and I asked if I could try it, I think. I saw it in the corner of a room of a music teacher. Mm-hmm. And I remember I asked what it was, and so I was just 7, and I think I was attracted to the look of it and the sound of it. Mm-hmm. And I've not really done anything else since.
When did you begin experimenting with composing and arranging?
It's funny, I don't even think of myself as a composer or arranger much these days, but I've always been playing and always listening to different kinds of music and different sounds. And the composing and the arranging, I guess, just came out of a desire to experiment on my own. And that, I mean, I was doing that quite a lot when I was a teenager, but then I decided to get serious with what you call an interpretive art, like, you know, really practicing the literature of music. And I've been doing that a lot. And then I found that the most exciting interactions I had were with living people, with friends who were also composers and writing. And then I found that I was restless, so I ended up improvising often on people's music or recording, and got into recording technology. And I sort of found that all my enthusiasms from when I was a teenager listening to different types of music, sort of electronic and rock music, and then listening to Bach and Shostakovich, they all started to make sense in my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. That they were actually not disparate skills, but they kind of all went together to be one, to make myself into one person. Mm-hmm. I guess the idea, if there's something good in a piece of music, if there's something good in it that makes you feel good or you hear and stimulates you, I think those skills are often transferable because it's human, so it's innate mm-hmm. to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about your involvement with the London Contemporary Orchestra. Well, first of all, what is the London Contemporary Orchestra?
The London Contemporary Orchestra is a great group of people. I think it started in 2006 or something like that, and I was with them at the beginning, mm-hmm. and we played some great shows. And then it's been changing and evolving a lot over the years and developing partnerships with other musicians. And they're my friends, really. We have a lot of fun, and we're just a string quartet, but we've been to lots of great places and worked with really interesting people. And there've been a fair few film scores recently that have done quite well, but also our work with Johnny Greenwood and also our work with Actress, who's a techno producer here. I think we're in a really good position now because we've covered lots of ground, like recording all the tape parts to Steve Reich's different trains, and we're quite quick now to do lots of different kinds of things, like click tracks, and we have quite a large repertoire.
Yeah.
And we're not scared to play anything. a lot of microtonal music or music with big crazy gestures, like playing in front of 5,000 people. We're sort of used to it, and therefore it feels fun going on stage with those guys.
Yeah, it sounds like that ensemble plays everything from, as you mentioned, music by Steve Reich to music with Radiohead. I mean, it's just all encompassing.
Yeah, there's just a sort of openness, really. What I really like most of all is there's not a sort of ideology driving it that precludes certain groups of people or certain styles. So it would never be that you'd say, well, we don't really play tonal music or we don't play serial music. And so we've played really quite extreme music alongside sort of shimmering microtonal music. And I guess we're always looking out for partnerships and other and interesting composers and nice repertoire. And that goes for me as well as a soloist. I like playing music written by friends. Yeah, it's about relationships, really.
What did you mean by this quote that I read in, I think it was the Fader magazine? You said, because all of the classical pieces I love still inform me in the present and will continue to inform me in the future, but they won't anchor me to the past.
I think that's me just trying to be positive, really. Okay, so example, I played at the weekend Shostakovich Cello Concerto No. 1. And when I first did that, I was 15 and I worked at it really hard. And that's double my life ago. And what's really nice about that is like, I guess like a good painting or something, is that that piece stays the same in the way that it is notated and it is set down.
Right.
And yet you change, you continue to change. Mm-hmm. So it was like revising it again this weekend felt like an old friend, which was familiar and friendly and sort of faithful. And now I'm a bigger person and stronger maybe, and there were things I could do differently. And so it's sort of like a reflection on yourself. Mm-hmm. So while it is coming from the past, it helps you get to know yourself a bit better, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the same time, you continue to evolve as a musician, experimenting, creating your own music, not staying anchored to the past.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I mean, you look at the context for all those pieces, like that piece, Shostakovich and Rostropovich kind of working together and sort of spurring each other on. That is a basic human interaction. And also, instead of just sort of having a coffee with someone and deciding to, like, trying to solve the world in language and sort of ideas, but that you would actually just make a piece of music together, which is a much more abstract process. Mm-hmm. And then the things that are communicated through the rhythms and the notes have an energy that then tell you a lot more actually about each other. I think more and more I'm obsessed with this idea that everything we do is a network of human interactions, mm-hmm. real ones, like physical ones, and often quite obsessive about little details like how long or how short or how loud or how soft each tiny detail should be. And when we share those, I think that's what happens in composing and interpreting. You develop a network of meaning with other people, mm-hmm. and the listener too.
Absolutely. Well, Oliver, it's been wonderful talking to you today. Thanks so much. And I look forward to hearing you at the Big Ears Festival.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Speaking with me yesterday on the phone, cellist Oliver Coates, who is performing at this year's Big Ears Festival. You can hear him Saturday at 12:30 a.m. at the Standard and Sunday at 3:30 p.m. at the Mill and Mine. More information about the Big Ears Festival, as well as a schedule, can be found online at bigearsfestival.com.